Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
everything drill. You know I'ma act a fool when I hit it. You know I'ma make it wet, baby, drip drop, yeah, yeah. Baby, tell me what's the deal so I can know. All you gotta do is say the word and I'ma go low, low. Can't do it with the dripping. You know I love the way it drill, drill.
Top down, I'm heavy, yeah. Eyes up, she cheesy, yeah. Wanna press me with a Becky, yeah. I'm so far from the street, you see that puddle. I ain't gon' beg it, I ain't gon' hold you. You see the puddle, man, I run this here, there's no rebuttal. You see the puddle, my dog's in here, unleash the muzzle. You see the puddle, get up out my lane when I'm in that lane, but top down, I'm switching lanes, my cutties, yeah. Back chasing currency on the mainframe, yeah. She top five, get dumb brain, yeah. She ride, got her code name is Mustang. You see the puddle. Swag, shanga, sand, subtle. You see the puddle. I say I'm dripping, call me Elsa. You see the puddle. Man, ain't no tucking, ain't no fumble. You see the puddle.
The puddle dripping from the boy can't do with a drip. Know that I'ma make the thing drill. You know I'ma act a fool when I hit it. You know I'ma make it wet, baby, drip drop, yeah, yeah. Baby, tell me what's the deal so I can know. All you gotta do is say the word and I'ma go low, low. Can't do it with the dripping. You know I love the way it drips.
We dripping like this, hands on your hips. We dripping like this, ice on the wrist. We dripping like this, we call it game time. We dripping like this, we dripping like this. We dripping like this, oh yeah. We dripping like this, we dripping like this. You dripping like this, you dripping like this. You dripping like this. You dripping like this. Hey, the puddle. Ain't no finger, I ain't gon' hold you. You see the puddle. I run this head, it's no rebuttal. You see the puddle. My dog's in here, unleash the muzzle. You see the puddle.
If you know that I'ma make the thing drill. You know I'ma act a fool when I hit it. You know I'ma make it wet, baby, drip drop, yeah, yeah. Baby, tell me what's the deal so I can know. All you gotta do is say the word and I'ma go low, low. Can't do it with the dripping. You know I love the way it drill, drill.
Shorty heard about me, Meezy baby, that coochie sled, my nickname E-E. I'm a orangutan in a bed frames, I'm a great day, free freak. Oh, you don't believe me? You can just try it. I'm encourage you to try it. My face, you can ride it. My tongue so excited. I'm like Bang with the tongue game. I'm a certified ride. We ain't got a bang. Use Alexa earmuffs. I'ma ride a poem while I'm licking on ya.
She gave me and then I gave her some I do.
You breathe heavy, I lick slow. Vice grip when I click though. She grip my skull like Velcro. Proper sizzling like an animal. Stretch moves like Rambo. Headband, camo, Art of War, Mando. Tom Bruce Lee with the mouthpiece.
Motorboat,
that sex box. She dripping out like white snot. Slurp it up like Slurpee. You ain't gotta fake me, just burn me. Alright, alright, okay, okay. No stopping to make no English. Alright, alright, okay, okay. No stopping to speak no English. Unibop, sensei. Unibop, sensei. Means you don't comprehend
that. Ooh, we your mind. Love to tickle that pie, talk about that. Ooh, we your mind. Gucci going that. Ooh, we your mind. Love to tickle that pie, talk about that.
Coochie goin', that ooh-wee-oh-mighty. Earthquake in that body, talking about ooh-wee-oh-mighty. Coochie goin', when I'm doin', Fuck it, it's business up against me. Now free my nigga, I'ma tap in. We gon' get it done, ain't no asking. Spend it all to the last bit. Aaron Rodgers, how I pass it. Nigga, every quarter I advance it. Do the same shit you did last year. Always bringing up some more passion. But my heart colder than Alaskan. I'ma tell you like I told the last bit. Play with kids, not a savage. Now come and swipe that plastic so I can get it made to master. Niggas wanna be stagnant, but I'ma move the game faster. We taking off like NASA. If you're scared, go and see a pastor.
All up in the club, no tears.
No tears.
They don't wanna see me win.
No.
Gotta give me up for sure.
For sure.
Pull up to the scene like, what up,
y'all?
Gotta put them on, that's how we do it. Take a little break, gotta get back to it. Money be flowing, this shit overloading. I'm about to explode, yeah, I'm about to explode. Okay. Pull up to the scene like Rosé. Rosé.
Jamaican grind, tryna have some shit. Big boys, standing out like kilos, fantabulous, immaculate. Now her what a bag in EBS, gotta be minty established. Put me the baby to Mac, just accurate. And I be like, okay, pull to the scene like Rosé. They say big boy, make freshman head to the toe like Rosé. We gon' crack bottles like okay, Instagram models like okay. We gon' gobble, gobble, man, swallow, swallow, till she holla, holla like okay.
Show in the streets, the airwaves, the internet. We have it all on Smash, Off the Cuff Radio, man. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Da Vinci Clothing. Sponsored by Core Financial, Jesse's Boutiques, Screwball Radio. Man, we keep giving the hits that keep on giving because, man, we got a doubleheader going on tonight. Representing the underground right here, man. And I got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What a do, what a do. Friday night fantasticness, Off the Cuff Radio in the building. We are here, live and direct. King, go ahead and let everybody know who we got tonight.
Man, we doing a doubleheader episode here. Now, how we're going to do this is the second hour, we're just going to play the pre-recorded questions. And we're going to just play his tunes, and we're going to call that the night for the second hour. But the first hour here, this guy here, coming down from the Sac Town, representing the Bay Area, man. Very talented brother. He's really putting in work, getting his grind on. He's performed with some of the best out there. I'm talking names like 2 Chainz, Snoop Dogg, Mr. Fab, Keek the Sneak, the Jacka, rest in peace. And he got a new project out. And the cool part about it is the Back to School single is high. He sent us a couple of joints we just played. And he just getting started, man. So without further ado, let's all welcome Jay Mizzy, baby, y'all.
What it do, what it do.
What's happening, what's happening? How y'all doing, fellas? How y'all doing?
We out in the Bay now,
we do,
man. We good, brother.
Look.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to live out here, man, during this quarantine era. You know what I mean? Trying to stay clean, trying to stay fresh and clean. You know what I mean?
Look,
what's up with y'all?
Man,
how y'all
look,
doing, man?
We good, man. Look, we see you mopping out the 916 like Mr. Lunatic say, man. Shout out to Scott Town and who y'all got for the damn, man.
Hey, that hey, I ain't heard that name in a minute. That's what's up. Hey, that's love,
I know about
man.
Y'all.
I appreciate it, man.
Look, I fucked with y'all out there. I got that album, as a matter of fact. I had that on CD.
Hey, bro, that's what's up, man. That's the big homie, man. That's what's up. He up in Fresno now.
Okay.
So after school of people out there, man. That's what's up, man. I'm actually jazzed. I know that name, bro. That's what's up.
Definitely, man. And look, you reppin' Sat Town. You got a long, you know, lineage of dopeness, man. I mean, of course, you got Lunatic. You got Mozzie, you know what I'm saying? You know, SIBO.
SIBO.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. There's some hitters out there, man. That's the beauty of this music, man. So many flavors, different areas. You know what I mean? And that's actually what I miss about the music, man, is I remember growing up, man, you can hear somebody come out. You don't even know their name, but you can hear the way they do it, and you know exactly where they came from. Nowadays, I can't tell sometimes. It is what it is, man. I'm out having some fun, man. I appreciate y'all having me.
Definitely, man. And, you know, to begin things off, man, for people that are already in tune with you, already following your movement, tell them what you got going on for the fall and the third quarter we got going on.
Well, I mean, right now I'm pretty much finishing up the process of writing my EP. I want to add that out before the summer of 2022, and I'm just dropping working on singles and stuff like that. I got a Christmas song coming out in the next few weeks, should be circulating, and I'm multi-talented, man. I just got done finishing a project with my rock band. Last weekend was actually my last session, so I'm trying to get it, man, and just trying to get people, get some more flavor to the world, man. It's most definitely necessary and needed.
Definitely, man. And I mean, you know, in terms of what you do, you know, you're putting it down for like Midtown, Oak Park, 4th Ave, you know what I'm saying? All the hoods out there, man. Tell us a little bit about how you started and everything.
You know what, man? Music, it was more of a family thing, man. All my family is musical, man. My uncle's a drummer. My grandpa, Tony Simon, rest in peace. He played, he the one actually gave me the fever for the music, man. When I was a kid, he'd come off tour, and he'll wake me up and tell me about his adventures overseas and stuff. Like, he played with some of the greats, man. I'm talking about the Santanas, man, the Drifters, the Coasters, man, B.B. King. Little Richard, man, he was on a roll doing it. He done a lot of great things that a lot of people don't know about. He got me pretty much started in the music, man. Outside of my big cousins, they was all already deep rooted in the hip hop, especially throughout the Bay. I don't know, man. You had no choice, man. You know, if you was a kung fu master, you had no choice but to learn the discipline. You know what I mean? So. It was in my bloodline, man.
Definitely. Now, in terms of, you know, that area out there, you know, you got Richmond, you got Vallejo, you know, San Jose. So you got, you know, people like Drew Deasy, you know, MB Neil, you know, of course, her. I told y'all I fucked with y'all out there. I know about y'all out there. I mean, what's the...
That's so dope, man.
Man, we got love for all y'all out there in the Bay, man. We got heavy connections. I mean, San Francisco, you know, all the way from the 415 to the 831 to the 707.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, we rock with y'all, man.
Yeah, man.
Pretty much, how's it feel to be part of that next wave? Yeah, how's it feel to be part of that next wave of tremendous talent coming out of there? Because y'all representing hard, man.
You know, man, it's a beautiful thing, man. You know, you have so many people, man, that's really putting on for where they from, bro. I felt like I was in the wave. I felt like I missed my wave, and I'm just getting the chance to actually catch the wave, if that makes sense. Like before I took my hiatus off of hip hop, man, I was moving and grooving, man, and I personally derailed my own career by stepping away from it. So to be jumping it off now, man, it feels good, man. It's the music is everything. Everybody listens to everything now. I know y'all remember growing up, man. People only listen to one thing really, but now kids listening to rock, techno, trap hop. It's crazy. Like my little cousins and stuff. They on everything. They listen to everything, and they be putting me up on stuff that I had no idea about. So it's just a question, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. I just want to put my imprint on what this thing we call music, man. I ain't gonna call it hip hop. This thing we call music.
Yeah, what's your your musical inspiration?
That's kind of hard too to say. I know outside of my grandpa, man, the person that actually when I saw how he did it, I was like, man, that's fun. That would be fun. It's Michael Jackson, bro. Real talk. Michael Jackson is the one that actually made me like, you know what, man? I think I want to do that. You know, sit there emulating him and then watching my grandpa do stuff on stage and stuff like that. Man, it was, as a kid, man, that first love, that was legit, music was my first love, man. Sitting there watching MC Hammer, EPMD, moving through the generations from like Greg Mack, Biggie, Pac, Wu-Tang, I mean, and at that time, I didn't know that people was from different areas. You know what I mean? Different areas of the globe. It was good music. And as you got older, you start realizing that people from different sides of the states, man, bring different flavors. So when I did hip-hop, labels should tell me, like, you know, you all over the place. You know, we need you to do something like this, And I'd be like, wow, is that what music is? You know, you're trying to put people in a box. Are you just wanting somebody to be an artist, or are you wanting them to be a managerial candidate? I don't understand what's going on here. So, I don't know. I think my influences got me in trouble, bro. He's crazy music, man. So, just name off. I know I'm rambling, bro. I'm excited to be here with y'all,
man.
Look, we're excited,
man,
to have you. No, it's all good, and we're excited. I mean, we love the energy you got. I mean, the thing about it being an eclectic, you know, talent is that you tap into so many influences that allow you to be who you are, and that is the emphasis of what music is. That's because music is art. It's about expression. It's about your vision in a visceral fashion that is coming to life through your, you know, articulation of talent. I mean, you can't go wrong ever with Michael, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Michael's just, you know, that's, you know, and obviously you're a student of the game in terms of, obviously you listening to some of your influences from East and West Coast. Now, pretty much, you know, King and myself, we're older, so we kind of go back a little bit in terms of remembering when the Bay Area really started coming up. Of course, shout out to Uncle Short, the godfather of Oakland hip hop, you know, Richie Rich,
yes,
you know,
yes,
E-40, of course, rest in peace,
yes,
Matt Gray and the Romper Room crew, you know what I'm saying, Rompilation,
yes,
I mean, you know, of course,
right,
later on, you know, yeah, I mean, you had Drew Down, You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, of course, man, can't forget Rapping Forte, you know what I'm saying? Dre Dawg, Andre Nicotina, you know, Kyrie,
yeah,
you know, Mac Maul, Young Lay, All About My Fetty,
hey,
you know, shout out to Young Black Brother.
Oh,
bro.
You got to hit him with three times crazy.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Go
play with me right now, bro. Hey, you know
and
what,
forget the can't forget the Federation either with Rick Rock and the crew.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Bro, you know what, I would like to say, man, I am thoroughly impressed, bro. A lot of people that interview, they read off papers, but because y'all throwing off names and names of songs, I know that y'all legitly rock the left side, bro. And I'm overly honored, man, to be talking to y'all, bro. Straight up. And
I'm
going to
let you
know, because y'all have a rich history, man. Y'all have a rich history. And not to mention, y'all independent hustle is what's motivational, man, because we see from the South how y'all be, you know, moving music from the trunk of the cars and how y'all be getting that music out there, politicking and networking. Yeah. It's inspirational.
Thank
you, man.
Thank
you.
Look.
On behalf of everybody here, Kenny, man, thank you. Wow.
I'm going to let you in on a secret, because I'm a big Bay Area fan in terms of what y'all been doing out there. And I'm 43 years old, and I've been fucking with y'all ever since I was like 15 years old. So I'm a huge Bay Area fan.
All right, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. I ain't gonna lie, you got me speechless. I usually don't get like that. I don't get speechless, you feel me? But I am right now. Only reason why I say that is because I met one of my closest relatives, the Davy Bradson, and a lot of his he bring a lot of his friends from different areas that he met, and a lot of people from, you guys from New York, right?
I'm from Virginia and Kingston, North Carolina.
You from where? I'm sorry. I'm in Raleigh,
Kingston,
North
Carolina.
I'm
from Virginia. Yeah, and I'm from Virginia.
Oh, okay. Oh, of course, then, yeah, most definitely. The South and the West always rock the stuff together. Always. That's what's up, man. Okay, hell yeah. Y'all most definitely going to be up, because build up on everything y'all doing out there. And that Southwest connection with Master P, bringing all that, bringing the love from the South and the Midwest down, right, straight up.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. Yeah, man, it's crazy, bro. The love that at the South and the West have for each other is always been a beautiful thing, man, to me. So, man, that's what's up, bro. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna let y'all answer y'all. Tell y'all questions out there, man. I'm just excited, bro. Thank you.
No, it's okay, because we love the fact that you're talking. I mean, because that means as a guest that you're engaged, and we're happy to have you, you know, in terms of being engaged with us, in terms of, you know, just politics. And look, in terms of the turf from your birth, you know what I'm saying, we know you real in the soil, and that's how you grow that genius. I'm familiar with the lingo y'all rock out there in the Bay all day. You know what I'm saying? Look, all about the steady, keeping it clean, like, you know, soft,
yeah,
like spaghetti. You know what I'm saying?
For cheesy. Hell yeah, I'm so weak right now, bro. It's tight.
We went to the E40 School of Linguistics. We graduated with all types of degrees and dopeness from it.
Yeah, we've been studying on the albums too, man, in a major way. Nope, in a major way,
yeah,
all the game. All the game was a life changer.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. That one.
Yes, I mean, in terms of the music scene out there right now, how's it been in, you know, basically for the present day in terms of, you know, just everybody moving? Like, in terms of yourself, who do you really rock outside of yourself? Who do you really rock with out there that you really see, you know, making their movement big in terms of, like, really coming up?
You know, it's crazy, because when I stepped away and when I came back in, all the people I was doing work with, pretty much isn't doing it anymore. So I literally had to like start from scratch. And imagine putting all them years of work in, and got to the point. People think it's easy. It's not easy, especially like you said, independent. I did everything by trial and error and effort, by meeting the promoters, meeting managers, meeting label heads, all that. I didn't have a red pill or nobody to tap me into the matrix, bro. I literally worked all of that. So Everybody, when I stepped away and I came back, the only person that was still out there rocking that I was going through the tunnels with is my man AT, shout out AT, and my man Henny Holyfield, aka Hennessy. Those are the only two, those are actually still seeing that when I was doing it, it's still rocking. So, and I rock with them because their energy is crazy. Like the music game is a treacherous game. Bro, everybody is competing instead of working together. So to answer your question, my first hip hop show is actually gonna kick off in February. So I'm in grind mode right now. I'm recording hella music, getting my merch up, so I can really start hitting people really good, man. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but.
No, it does. And I mean, how important is branding in terms of when you're getting your merch up, in terms of preparation? Because you're looking towards, you know, that's, you know, you got to, like you said, you got it in February next year. So how important is it in terms of artists, in terms of, you know, when they know what's coming? Because obviously you are prepared for, you know, what you got. How important is it for artists to have that plan mapped out so by the time everything comes that, you know, it's a go right there. You know what I'm saying? It's green light, all gas, no brakes.
Yeah. All gas, no brakes. I learned the hard way. Like, I went on probably 7 tours, and I had no merch at all. And people that know that's game goofy. You don't ever do that. I don't give a damn if it's Jay-Z you open it up for. You don't ever go anywhere without giving something for the people to remember you by, because people have this attention span of a newborn. No matter how hard you rock it, no matter how hard you rock it, man, you can be forgotten the next morning. So that's why merch to me is everything, man, because if somebody pays for something, like a shirt, a sticker, whatever it is, man, a subscription to whatever, they're going to most definitely remember you and check you out and follow what you're doing and stay up on you. Like, I've done some amazing things around some rough shoulder with some amazing people that I grew up listening to with their posters on my wall and their CDs when CDs was relevant in my CD holder. I've sat there and had conversations with these dudes and was almost damn near tongue-tied, and I feel like me personally, I have nothing to show for it because I wasn't prepared with the merch. That is so important to me personally, outside of your game being strong.
Gotcha. Now, when you're speaking on merch, now, how important do you feel in terms of what you said about CDs? Because King and myself, we are, as long as we've been doing this show, we are strong proponents of physical copies in terms of having tangible music in your hands. We don't always trust online outlets because of how things have happened over the past couple of years.
Right.
In terms of albums, songs getting taken off. In terms of that, how do you feel about having physical copies available in terms of, you know, in addition to the T-shirts, stickers, and everything else like that for your fans to actually have that music in their hands?
I think it's still important, me personally, because I've learned that a promoter friend of mine learned the hard way. You can fabricate your numbers easily on these social sites.
and making it seem like you're hotter than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fake CD sales, man, especially with the barcodes. You can't fake that at all unless you just super buying up everything. Unless you're super buying up everything. But what I do is when I press my stuff up, I actually have the barcode on there as well. So if they have a CD player or they want to load it into their CPU or whatever the case may be, they can either do that or they can scan it on my physical copy. I believe in physical copies all day. People still like to have that in their hands outside of their phone.
Yeah.
I've seen it and I've lived it and I've dealt with it, man. So that's a real thing, bro. And I still believe in guerrilla warfare. When it comes to promoting the file. Yeah, man. I still believe in that all day. I'm not that guy to stand behind the computer and talk. I want to engage my peoples, and I still can talk with the best of them, and I can give them that energy that a screen can't give them. So I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, you did. Now, one thing about it, man, is the game in the Bay has always, you know, had, you know, more plays in terms of how to strategize, you know, than Brady calling an audible, you know what I'm saying? You know, or Michael Vick busting out of the pocket and running with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, what is so special about y'all out there in terms of how y'all just have this, you know, because one of my homegirls stay out in L.A., and she says, don't nobody hustle like the Bay. What is that magic y'all got out there?
You know, to be completely honest with you, I don't know. I don't really know, man. I know that we don't have access to things like L.A. have, like New York has, like Atlanta now possesses where you have these outlets, man. So you have to really, if you want something, you're going to have to really go out there and get it. And it's so expensive out here. So if you're passionate about something outside of your regular 9-to-5, man, you better get up off that ass and go move. So I think it's just the everyday environment, man. Everybody is trying to out-hustle the next person. So your hustle game got to be strong. Got to be strong. And I want to say this. I think we get a little too much credit for it, man. But I think it's a mutual respect and like-minded attitudes when it comes to the West and the South. I've got folks that's from the dirty, man, that gets busy like how we get busy. The terminology is different, but it's the same destination, bro. So I'm going to ask y'all, how do you guys have the grit y'all got the way y'all do it where y'all at?
King, go ahead and I'll go behind you.
You mean building the knowledge of what we have with the culture?
Not just the culture at all, the way, I mean, cause look at it like this. For the past, what, 15, 20 years, I mean, the South pretty much carried the torch of hip-hop, right? Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how did it come from the point where people from the South, Outkast wouldn't have said what they said if they didn't see it and feel it themselves, that people didn't think that the South really had something to say, or they was like second class MCs. But we all know that's false. Look at it now. Everybody's trying to follow what the South is doing, and I don't know. So you tell me, like, what gave you guys the grit? The same way y'all think the Bay and the West got it.
I could tell you straight up that it's a lot more unified in a way, because if you look at New York is more like cliquish. New York is very cliquish when it comes especially in the 90s, man. Like, you had all these different crews. You had the Rough Riders, the Wu-Tang, Terror Squad, Bad Boy. They weren't really doing songs like that unless it was a mutual respect, or, you know, there was like a big bag involved.
Whereas
in the South, everybody was pretty much mingling. Like, it was no politics going on. Like, if you want to work with somebody, you can work with them. Like, if Jeezy wanted to work with T.I., no problem. It's a phone call. Maybe you got to talk to the lady, and that's that. Same with Little John. Look at the networking. It was more so everybody was pretty much on the same page. And now, I'm not saying it's perfect because there's politics everywhere. But how the South was able to maintain it is like they built their brand more so less off battling and competitiveness and more so just bringing the content and just bringing their elements to the table.
Right.
And you got to
remember,
too, Atlanta, from really where it birthed, you know, the southern aesthetic of hip-hop birthed itself from being a very outcast, was the first really big rap group. I won't even say, I think in traditional hip-hop, because, of course, you had Criss Cross, shout out to them and Jermaine Dupri. You know, I mean, Atlanta always had a music scene in terms of what Babyface, you know, and L.A. Reid were doing with LaFace Records, Tony Braxton, you know, all of them. You know, and Usher, of course, was coming up. And then when hip-hop started really coming in the 90s, of course, with what J.D., who still doesn't get his respect for what he's accomplished, you started seeing the pot, you know, what hip-hop did in terms of with Criss Cross, and then you saw these two Southern boys in a Cadillac, Andre Benjamin and Andre Patton, you know, the two dope boys in a Cadillac, you know, who really revolutionized it. They opened up that door because it was a different, like King said, it was different in terms of the connection, so there was a lot more familiarity. Hip-hop runs in stages in terms of what is popular. The East Coast had it and the West Coast had it, you know, so then it was only a matter of time before the South had it. And the South taps into a vein of a hustler trap aesthetic. My brother told me this, and I've never forgotten it, when King told me one time, when we look at Ghetto Mafia, you know, straight out of D.C., Decatur, they were
straight
the ones that you could pretty much say, yeah, they could pretty, you could say that pretty much they're the ones that laid down the foundation of what we call trap hop today in terms of the lyrics and everything else. The musical soundtrack will come later with what Jeezy and Gucci Mane did. When you look at the boom, when you look at that 808 heavy bass with what Lil Jon did, because Lil Jon was doing house parties in Atlanta back in 96 before he even came out. He wouldn't really break out until about 5 years later. You know, but
you know how that West Coast connection, how that Southwest Coast connection went even further when Too Short came to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, when he moved there in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, Little John,
you know. You know, so there's always, but in terms of it, man, we're just some guys who love the culture. We love the show that we do. We love getting to interview individuals like yourself. And in terms of how we do the show, we do it just like anybody else. You know, we have regular 9-to-5 jobs. So what we do, we're not sponsored by a major conglomerate. What King and myself do, and with the help of, you know, our friends, Dyer Lansky, you know, Fleetwood and the Cod Pickers, Eric Schroeder, you know, Cocaine, you know, so many of our friends we've met along the way, you know, they help us. And we, you know, of course, what we do, we reach out to a lot of these people ourselves, you know, and they reach out to people for us, you know, but we, this is all hustle, you know, not given, you know, this is all earned, you know, not gifted, although we're gifted at what we do.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I tell you one thing you guys are really great at. I've done a thousand interviews. You guys actually let the person talk, and I feel comfortable talking to y'all. That's a gift too. A lot of people don't have that, where they can actually, and to the point where y'all actually do your homework to make the person feel at home. And I guess that you call it a Southern hospitality, I guess, right? But
absolutely.
it's cool, man. Like I legitly want to stay in touch with y'all, man, outside of this, man. So pick y'all brain on music, man. Y'all most definitely know your stuff. Most definitely.
Definitely. And one thing about it is that, and what we do, we pride ourselves on our journalistic integrity. King is an accomplished journalist, you know, wrote some great pieces, has worked for a lot of independent labels and major labels, you know, so he has a very thorough journal background. Myself, I'm a lifelong hip-hop nerd, have every Source magazine since 1994, every XXL magazine since 1997 when they started, Don Diva,
right.
Fez, you know, As Is magazine. You name any hip-hop publication, I have something. Vibe, Straight Stuntin', shout out to DJ K Slay. You know, so
yeah.
That, you know, reading that my whole life, and my mother, you know, gave me the DNA of dialogue from, you know, reading to me. So I was always a reader growing up. So I just took it and ran with it.
Man,
you know? And,
man.
And,
especially,
you
that's
know.
What's missing today, man, is media, period, man. I'm talking people that are literally in the soil of the culture. Because they even that shape shit for the most part.
Right. Right. Let me ask y'all this. Why? There's a... The way I see something, I'm really asking y'all. I want y'all to tell me exactly what y'all think about this. I always wondered, especially King, with your background on working with labels and whatnot. I think the biggest thing that is happening right now, where, I mean, there's so many artists out there, but the ones that's really really good at their craft and their artwork are the ones that don't know how to get their music out there to the right people. Like there's a big highway, but you have 1,000 artists driving the back alleys, not knowing how to get their music to
Wow.
where the people are actually Wow. at. And then you have these companies lying to the artists, like, hey, pay us this and we'll get your things here. And instead of it being real listeners, there's bots, and people
mm-hmm.
can't tell the difference when it comes to even promoters, talent buyers booking these artists and not seeing the outcome of it. And then you have promoters that's actually artists themselves that don't really know how to really promote a show. They're expecting an artist to do it all.
Right.
So I think, like, right. the biggest thing, you tell me, is I think that's where the labels would benefit the artist versus the artist trying to figure all of this stuff out on their own, and then they get frustrated and they give up.
Yeah.
I don't know, tell me, coming up, I know that's a loaded question. It's a lot of points I'm trying to make.
I can tell you, man, like, one of the problems is now you have a lot of the CEOs and the people that run the label, now they want to be superstars.
Yeah,
that started
yeah,
around the time
yeah.
where Puffy started rapping, and, you know, everybody started wanting to be all in the video, all on rap.
Oh, my God.
So,
Sugar always be go down in history for that comment. Always. Wow.
That took a lot of shine from the artist, because you like, damn, this dude, label, you gotta ghost write his album, and he gonna blow up.
Yeah,
you
got.
And he ain't gonna focus on you.
Yeah,
look.
Not no more.
Look, dude, we even got a situation now where there's a certain manager who out there is talking more than his artist, and we look at his artist like, dude, he's talking more than you. What's going on?
Yeah. We talking about Webline.
You know, we know who he is. You know, 100 times we know who he is.
Yeah, it's like, dude, it's like, this, I'm like, your artist supposed to be doing all of this, not you.
The man is supposed to be the guy in the background creating the deals and making the deals happen for the artist. You don't supposed to be all in the camera, all on the gram, doing more talking than the artist.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So you thinking that people are more in it for the fame than the actual art form? That's what it seems like. I know. I talk to a lot of young artists, and a lot of them. Don't get me wrong. Everybody wants to feel respected and loved, and of course, you know, girls and money has always been a big component of why artists did a lot of things they did. But to a certain point, I think I really truly believe deep in my heart, man, that some certain people are born to do certain things. I don't know why I fell in love with music the way I did. I can't even tell you why. Outside of my grandpa doing what he did, but it was something extra, something different that kept me up at night. Like, lyrics used to literally wake me up out of a dead-ass sleep, and I couldn't go back to sleep unless I wrote what popped in my head. My body would not let me sleep. So sometimes this stuff hurt, bro. It's like losing. When I stopped doing music, man, stopped doing hip-hop, I hated it for a minute. I'm gonna be honest with you. I literally hated something that I loved so much and sacrificed so much. I started to hate it. Wow. Because of the BS I was dealing with when it came to like labels and I realized it wasn't about the talent. It wasn't about the talent anymore. It was other stuff that people was driven. Anyway, that's another story, but it was crazy, man.
Well, we get what you're saying, and the thing is, in terms of the motivations of it, it's not always as genuine. One thing about the industry is this, and we've done hundreds of shows, we've interviewed hundreds of guests, we've talked on air, we've talked off the air about this. This is something that you have to get into an understanding that it is not going to happen overnight. In the worst case scenario, yeah, just being 100, it may not happen at all. You know, we've seen a lot of year. We've seen, dude, when I say I have every XXL magazine since 1997, I do. So I've seen every artist that was profiled in the show improved section. You know, I've seen artists like Jeezy, Rick Ross, Gucci Mane, you know, T.I., you know, I saw all of them featured in there before they actually blew up. And then I've seen artists that didn't make it out of there. You know, and it's hard because when you look at what it is now, and this is going back into the 90s and 2000s before social media became a thing, and now social media is all over the place. So a lot of these artists have an expedited outlet to, you know, become famous. The problem is that for some of them, they have put and now with everything being sensationalized because hip-hop has become corporate, Main Source was saying about how it was a business back in 1992 where Lost Professor was kicking at the beginning of Faking the Funk, you know, what he was saying about now you realize now this is a business. So what we're having is now what has become commercially viable for consumer consumption. And the thing is, if you can dictate the market by putting out something enough and saturating the masses and making them think that this is popular, then boom. This is what's going to be popular, whether it's good or not, whether it's substantial or not, whether it is information or not. There's a difference between what is factual, what is fiction, what is substantial, and what is artificial, what is authentic, and what is straight out counterfeit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow, bro. He's like a professor, bro, on everything.
That's what
I was sitting. Bro, I was sitting there like I was in class. Like, yes, teacher, I get it. That was dope.
That's why we call him like the minister. We call him the minister of information.
Hey, bro, everything as articulate as it could ever be, bro. That was crazy. I was like, all right, I understood it completely. Man, that's what's up, bro. Straight up, man. I know I sound like a broken record, man, but I really enjoyed this, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, man, it's good energy, man. That's what we like, building with underground artists, man, because we... Big shout out to Aries for putting this together. She put us together with a lot of solid artists, man, because some people, they become...
Yeah, man.
Hollywood, that Hollywood attitude, and...
Yeah, we love Aries. We love Aries, especially her being born and raised out in the day, man. We love Aries.
Yeah, yeah, man. Me and Aries came from. We're close to the same area. I grew up in South Sacramento. Where Sebo with Sebo and Brother Lynch area came from. I grew up in them areas, and it's so crazy that I used to see Sebo all the time when I was getting out of school and stuff, and always trying to flag him down and spit something for him, and he always get that he chuck up the deals and say, "What's up, little homies?" and peel off in his tricked out The tricked out chef, man. It was always cool, bro. It was always cool. So, and shout out Miss Harris and UBO. Appreciate her, man, and my brother, Deshaun with National Music League, man. Appreciate everybody, man. Appreciate you guys too, man.
Definitely, man. Man, this hour went by quick.
Yeah,
I know.
Look, before we
I know.
Tell everybody where we can find you at on social media.
You know, you can find me everything. Google me, Jemezy Baby. That's JEMEZZYBABE. On Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, anything that's digital, man, that people go to, I'm there. You can find me, man. And talking, I always talk back. It's never somebody else. It's me. It might be a second sometimes, but I get to you though.
Word,
like you
word,
said, man,
word.
I do work that 9-to-5 too, though. You know what I mean? Bills gotta be paid, bro.
Definitely. And there's no shame in, you know, doing something substantial,
no.
You know, in terms of actually, you know, working to make the paperwork, you know what I'm saying? The grind is what makes us shine, you know what I'm saying? Tenacity,
yes,
you know, brings the talent, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know what? It's funny you said that, man. I used to be very embarrassed, and a lot of people don't like to be honest about it, man, but I am, though. I used to be very, very embarrassed, man. I was working a 9-to-5, man, and a promoter always booked me for the big old shows, and he slid up on me. He was like, "Me, you see?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, man." He's like, "You work here?" And I was so embarrassed, bro. I quit the job that day, and my mom, rest in peace, she was so hot. She was so mad at me, and actually literally set me down like a big old baby, bro. It's broke it down to me, like, this is real life.
Yeah.
Don't ever let nobody make you feel less of anything because you're paying your bills. You do this until your passion takes off. And that's stuck in my head ever since then. But
I'm going to tell you a quick story before we jump to the next guest, because there's something I want everybody to know out here. Shout out to Big Mike the Jeweler. And if you haven't checked out his IG page with them big-ass BMF chains that he did for the crew, y'all need to. Yes, I'm shamelessly plugging our man because he is a great guy. He told us about a situation when we interviewed him last year. He told us about a situation with an athlete. He didn't give his name, but he was like, if I give the specifics of it, you'll know who it is. But he was like, this dude was trying to buy a whole bunch of Brolic jewelry, and when they ran his credit got denied. He was denied the sale because his credit was so bad. I said that to say this to everybody, to you, to everybody listening out there. Your bills are your bills, and your responsibilities are your responsibilities. Nobody is going to feed you if you go broke, so you have to make sure that you are the one putting you know, finesse, you know, putting the finances in place for what is going to be on your plate. Don't ever be ashamed of what you have to do to feed you, because that's what you do. And I'm going to take it further. Some of these rappers out here, you know, they might get mad when I say it. This is Off the Cuff Radio. We don't care when we say it. Some of these rappers out here ain't necessarily living it like they try to portray, you know.
Yeah.
And even if they got it, what do they have to sell themselves out to get it for? How much of their soul do they give up for?
Mm. Price.
What's the price you pay for it?
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach,
yeah. So, no. I mean, you know, the thing is, it shows, one thing about it, it shows when you work, you're willing to do what you have to do. You know, easy money usually leads to an easier downfall.
Alcohol.
You know, everybody try to be a snake oil salesman on how they sell something until they slip on their own tongue and get cut out from it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hey, man. Yeah, I feel that all day, man. All day. I'm gonna make sure I hit him at Aries, man. I'm gonna let her know I appreciate this one. For sure. For sure.
Definitely, man. We appreciate you joining us, man. And you're definitely welcome to come back in the near future.
Yeah, please do, man. Please have me, man. Anytime, most definitely, man. Appreciate both of you guys, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all evening, man.
No doubt, brother. You stay safe out there.
Yes, sir. All
no,
day. Much love,
no
y'all.
No problem. Devin, much love. You know you're welcome back anytime.
My man. All right, brother.
All right, man. Peace. One, we'll catch up with you on IG. Thank you again.
Yes, sir. All day.
Yes, sir. All right, King.
Yes,
so
sir,
we got one out of the way.
Right.
So,
yeah, we on hour number two right here, and this is a pretty weird format we're doing, but you know it's a first for everything. What we're gonna do is we're gonna play this interview. I submitted the questions to Nerd Life, and he's gonna answer them in a pre-recorded way, and we're just gonna play his songs. But before we go on and do that, I want to go ahead and say, great news right here. They found Kelly Price. Kelly Price is good. They reported her missing earlier today. And, you know, the rumor reports have just been spreading like wildfire. So somebody came through and confirmed that she's safe and she's recovering from COVID.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
She's been sick since then. She's been sick for a month.
Oof. Ain't God good? She's alive, though.
Yeah, man, because it's like, it's been a real bizarre past 2-3 years, man. Like, we got to be thankful that the legends that we have that really contribute to this art form is still around. And most importantly, give them their flowers while they're here.
Definitely.
So, yeah, and while we are there on hip-hop news, West Side Gun Side B is officially out. Y'all need to go ahead and get that.
Yes.
Niggas is hungry this time. And see, what's good about this project, West Side isn't really rapping too much. He's more so being the orchestrator. Like, basically what he's doing, he's playing the Kanye West role of, you know, orchestrating the whole project. And it's fire.
So he's got a lot of guest appearances up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Definitely check that out. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of good music that's out right now. J. Cole dropped the EP, I believe. It was a visual EP. It's called Heaven's EP.
Okay, so Cole doing his thing right now, I see him.
Yeah, I'm giving people some music to check for before we go off there. And there's another dope joint. Dark Low and Havoc dropped the album together.
Ah, yes, that New York energy. We need it, yes.
That New York-Philly connection right there. And it's good to see Hav working, man, because Hav's been going through it for the past couple of years, especially with Prodigy dying, and that kind of left him in a depression. So it's good to see that he's back. He got another joint out he did last year with Flea Lord with Coke. Good to see Havoc back working.
Absolutely. So, it's definitely something where, you know, hip-hop lives no matter what. So that's the beautiful thing about it all.
Yes, sir, man. So y'all go ahead and cop those projects. I'm about to play this quick interview and play two songs from Third Life. Big shout-out to Aries for making this connection happen. And we're going to see you guys Sunday with Snoopy Blue, y'all.
Yep.
And you see me tomorrow, Saturday, with Screwball Radio with Black Poet and Common. We're going to talk our ish because we got a lot to talk about. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, go to church. Stay in church, nigga.
And we out. Peace.
Hey, what's good, everybody? It's Nerd Life by Devo. I want to give a special shout out to Chillin' with Jeff and Kenny C. I'm going to dive right into this interview and answer some of the questions that you guys had. But first, real quick, let's give a shout out to the man upstairs through faith. Everything is possible. So how did I get into hip-hop, you guys wanted to know. So I was in college and I had a job in banking and finance. And I was just called to create music. You know, I started hanging out at some hole-in-the-wall karaoke spots and watching a ton of YouTube videos on how to set up the perfect studio. And then, you know, I just picked up an Apollo Twin, a Bluebird mic, and quit my job September 27, 2019. And then that same night, I recorded my first track, Life That Won't Stop. 3 months later, it was released on the Codex I've Got Next. You guys wanted to know, who are my influences in hip-hop? I've always studied music back when I was a kid. I mean, I listened to everything from jazz music to gospel music, R&B and soul, and then hip-hop, and then more hardcore rap. So, I mean, I listened to everything, studied everybody. But my all-time favorite was Pac. You know, I have to go back and listen to Pac, and he just had a way of, you know, speaking about more than this life and, you know, women and money. You know, he had a way of speaking about, hey, what's next? What are your inspirations when it comes to funk fusion and jazz and your music? So I listened to a lot of jazz instrumentals my entire life. I would literally recreate these songs in my head. And, you know, these are some of my favorite tracks because they just come so easy. I mean, I feel like I can have a whole track, you know, within minutes. And then there's no second guessing my message or my flow, and the Holy Spirit's very strong. So, I mean, it's just programmed in me at this point. For the fans who follow the Codex series, what can they expect on Volume 3? So, first off, I don't like the word fans. Everything I do is for our Heavenly Father, so those that support the Codex, I can expect listeners to just really hear my growth. I feel like you've really seen me settle in my genre of experimental hip-hop. The mixing and mastering quality has gotten a lot better. And doing something a little different with this message and the vision on this album. So I encourage listeners to listen all the way through so that you see the vision. Music has a way of helping people. How do you feel when fans say that your music gives them hope? To hear that music gives them hope is very endearing, but again, my message is all about Jesus and his love, and so I just want to stress that more than anything. I will say that we've entered a very delicate stage in our existence where everything we've always known has been challenged, and we're concerned. We're all concerned, but the Bible says God's already won the victory, And so I just want to reiterate that. You're listening to Evolution of Hip Hop by Nerd Life by Devo. Follow me on all my handles at Nerd Life by Devo. The Codex Volume 3 is already out. Go listen. So I want you guys to just take a minute and get used to this voice because it ain't going nowhere. So stay tuned.
Hold on 1 second, guys. That was a little error that we made right here. This is a Blog Talk issue. I went ahead and played the wrong, I played the wrong clip, so y'all have to forgive me right there. Yeah, my apologies to everybody that's listening. It's just been a Blog Talk issue. Hang on right quick. Yeah, because we've been going through some problems with Blog Talk, man, because we've been trying to get certain files played, and sometimes they play the wrong file. But we're going to get the right file up here. Hold on 1 second. Here we go right here. This is the real file with the real file. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to edit some of that out. And the final version is going to be uploaded on the YouTube channel. So this is the Nerd Life interview right here. Him Big It Up Off the Cuff Radio shouting us out. This is the real deal. And we're going to follow up with some songs as well. So my bad, y'all. My bad.
Hey, what's good, everybody? It's Nerd Life by Devo. I want to give a special shout out to Off the Cuff Radio with King Eric and T-Max. I'm going to dive right into this interview and answer some of the questions that you guys had. But first, real quick, let's give a shout out to the man upstairs. Through faith, everything is possible. So how did I get into hip-hop, you guys wanted to know? So I was in college, and I had a job in banking and finance, and I was just called to create music. You know, I started hanging out at some hole-in-the-wall karaoke spots and watching a ton of YouTube videos on how to set up the perfect studio. And then, you know, I just picked up an Apollo Twin, a Bluebird mic, and quit my job September 27, 2019. And then that same night, I recorded my first track, Life That Won't Stop. 3 months later, it was released on the Codex I've Got Next. You guys wanted to know, who are my influences in hip-hop? I've always studied music back when I was a kid. I mean, I listened to everything from jazz music to gospel music, R&B and soul, and then hip-hop, and then more hardcore rap. So, I mean, I listened to everything, studied everybody. But my all-time favorite was Pac. You know, I have to go back and listen to Pac, and he just had a way of, you know, speaking about more than this life and, you know, women and money. You know, he had a way of speaking about, hey, what's next? What are your inspirations when it comes to funk fusion and jazz and your music? So I listened to a lot of jazz instrumentals my entire life. I would literally recreate these songs in my head. And, you know, these are some of my favorite tracks because they just come so easy. I mean, I feel like I can have a whole track, you know, within minutes. And then there's no second guessing my message or my flow, and the Holy Spirit's very strong. So, I mean, it's just programmed in me at this point. For the fans who follow the Codex series, what can they expect on Volume 3? So first off, I don't like the word fans. Everything I do is for our Heavenly Father, so those that support the Codex, I can expect listeners to just really hear my growth. I feel like you've really seen me settle in my genre of experimental hip-hop. The mixing and mastering quality has gotten a lot better. And doing something a little different with this message and the vision on this album. So I encourage listeners to listen all the way through so that you see the vision. Music has a way of helping people. How do you feel when fans say that your music gives them hope? To hear that music gives them hope is very endearing, but again, my message is all about Jesus and his love. And so I just want to stress that more than anything. I will say that we've entered a very delicate stage in our existence where everything we've always known has been challenged. and we're concerned. We're all concerned. But the Bible says God's already won the victory. And so I just want to reiterate that. You're listening to Evolution of Hip Hop by Nerd Life by Devo. Follow me on all my handles at Nerd Life by Devo. The Codex Volume 3 is already out. Go listen. So I want you guys to just take a minute and get used to this voice because it ain't going nowhere. So stay tuned.
Looking in the eyes of destiny, stepping up with me. Mindset to accomplish, I'm down enough to astonish the grace of our King. Stay focusing, ain't no one putting more work than me. Running a point with my team, vision's on me.
Cut me with handles. My no look is savage. Understanding what it means. Leading a team with Devo on point. Call victory. My first step, I euro and dish. Is the mission to blame? Still giving praise. This is the core vision. Codex that opened up. Call victory.
Style afloat to connect the time when the world is wondering what's planning. Hustling the party, sailing for less. Laying all the naysayers to rest. Serve for the king almighty, I'ma put it down. Pay the grace, I laid it down. Blessed are they which do.